Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and me, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
All right, everybody, get your head right. It is a Wednesday on Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Good morning. I am Woodsy. I am half of Ben and Woods. My co-host, Ben Higgins, will be here about 5:30. Comes in a little late every day. And let me introduce the rest of this cast of misfits and characters in here. We got the Alex Perlin, a.k.a. The Hammer. Good morning. He's our assistant producer.
What's up, dude?
How are you?
Awesome today.
You watched Kingpin last night. You didn't like it.
Hated it almost.
We're already beefing in here this morning. I don't understand how anybody could hate the movie Kingpin.
One of the worst endings to a movie I've ever seen.
The ending or just... I mean, he wins in the end. He gets that money from the condom company, and he makes money, and he gets the hot girl. Like, it's a pretty good ending.
Yeah, but the movie's about bowling, and he loses in bowling.
Yeah, but he has a hook for a hand. So he did pretty good to even make it.
All right, I was in it for the comeback story, and I didn't get that.
All right, that's fair. I guess that's fair. But, I mean, that movie is just one of my favorites. To your right, Hammer, we've got our executive producer, Paul Reindel, or Reindale, Reindahl. No one really knows.
Or Reindel.
Including Paul's fiance. Last night, Paul realized that his fiance, Megan, doesn't know how to pronounce what will be her last name, Reindel. Reindel.
It's not how.
Reindel. Rondel. Rondel. Reindel. So, how do you say your last name? It's Reindel.
Reindel.
What did she say?
You're listening to the Reindel Report on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah. So, the Reindel Report, not the Reindel Report.
The way it worked, we were watching, you know, one of, I don't even know what show this one was, but
one of those shows. Trash shows.
And the guy was like a total D-bag, like super protective over his girlfriend. Like, hey, you're not allowed to like have coffee with a guy at work for a meeting.
Agreed.
You know.
So Hammer, basically.
So,
right.
So he's basically Hammer. And so she goes, I'm so glad you're not like that. And so I joke to her. I go, hey, I'm just waiting for you to take my last name.
Yeah, then I own you,
then
right?
You're my property.
That's a joke, everybody. Everybody
calm
settle down.
Ah!
Tongue in cheek. Yeah.
And she turns to her little dog, Edie, and she just goes, Edie, are you excited to be daddy's property? You going to be Edie Reindahl?
And you go, and excuse
dude,
me? Reindahl?
I didn't laugh. I didn't play it off. I didn't ignore it. I just turned to my left, and I just stared at her, and she kind of looks. She feels me looking at
her,
and she looks over, and I go, are you effing kidding me? I
was like, Reindahl, she thought his name was.
I was like, you don't know how to say my last name?
We were engaged.
She goes, she's like, it's
and then she starts panicking.
Reindahl, it's Reindahl. It's Reindel. Like she ended up, she got it. She's like, it's Reindel, right? But she was second guessing.
Yeah,
herself.
The fact that you have to say right, yes, it's Reindel.
Dude,
as you
like,
know, because you listen to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan, and you hear the Reindel Report 7,000 times.
I couldn't.
And you know we have intercourse, and you know we're engaged, and we live together. It's probably important you know my name now. In her defense, she did say she had taken some tinctures. You know, like some CBD tinctures.
Ooh.
So maybe she was a little loopy, which happens. I often forget my wife's name when I take CBD tinctures. No, it's funny. I wanted to ask you this, Paulie, because you guys see my wife on Twitter. Her name on Twitter is Hannah Nancaro dot 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 Woods.
It's a good bit.
Now, we've had kind of funny, like I used to be more, me 10 years ago probably would have been a little pissy about it. Been like, yo, man, you're Hannah Woods now. But I don't care. Like, she's my wife and I'm her husband. And like, it's a bit archaic, you know, the taking of the name. She doesn't do the hyphen.
Yeah.
She's on her, I think on her marriage certificate, you know, it's Hannah Woods now. And I think her license is Hannah Nancaro Woods. She actually dropped her middle name and moved her last name to be her middle name. So it's Hannah Nancaro Woods, without
she's not
a dash.
Jane anymore?
She is, but it's on her license.
Two
it's
middle names?
Hannah Nancaro Woods. But she does it on Twitter as the bit, Hannah Nancaro dot 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 Woods.
Dot dot dot.
Dot dot
hey,
dot.
If you grew up in San Diego as a Nancaro.
That's it. And like, I get it. Like, okay.
Like, who's a Woods?
She works for Nancaro Realty Group. Like, yeah. It's like part of her shtick.
Well, it's, I mean, a lot of people in like the public eye, a lot of like celebrities when they get married, if you know, like singers, actors, whatever, if they came up, you know, women, if they came up with a certain name and made their notoriety and made their stamp.
Gwen Stefani is not Gwen Shelton. You know, she wasn't right. Gwen Rossdale. You know, that's just the way that,
exactly.
Like, you're Gwen Stefani. And I think, you know, you have to be okay with that as a man. I'm not the, I own you, you're my property, take
now, maybe
my name.
Maybe Gwen Stefani's license says, you know, Gwen Shelton.
Gwen
but
Stefani.
But her stage name will always be Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani Rossdale Shelton. What is, now, is she going to, have you guys discussed this? Have you guys,
not
is she
really.
Going to take your name?
She hasn't said that she wasn't going to. I think it was just kind of, I just assumed, I guess. But I'm with you. Like,
I wouldn't assume.
I don't really care. And especially, you know, with her dad not here anymore, like maybe there's something there. Like she wants to keep the Gannon name. I don't know.
Megan Gannon Reindel. Reindel.
Reindel.
Reindel. She did say last night, I was tweeting at her. I go, what? She said, well, there should be an H in. I go, why are you putting an H in there? There's no H.
There
in,
shouldn't be an
there's
H.
There's not an H
where
in Reindel.
Between the D and the L?
Paul, is it German?
It's German.
Reindel.
She like, Googled it. She Googled with an H and it came up the way it's actually spelled R-E-I-N-D-L with no H. And she goes, oh, God, maybe I'm wrong. I'm like, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I know how to say my last name. You're definitely wrong.
You didn't need Google. I could have told you you're wrong.
It's so good. It was so good. I was dying laughing last night.
I would just want, if and when we have children, I would like my kids to have the Reindel name. But that would be a preference on my end.
It's very archaic of you, Paul. It's very, very chauvinistic of you, I think.
I don't think it is. Forcing her to take my last name is dumb. I'd like my kids to have my last name.
Yeah, it's fine.
Keep the name going.
Bo is Bo Woods. He says it.
Was that a conversation?
No. It's just his name.
It's going to happen.
It's just going to happen.
No matter what.
I'm a knuckle dragger. That's why, right? So that was funny as hell, man. I tweeted at her. I go, oh, God, what have I done? And she goes, hey. I'm like, I'm joking, clearly. You guys are a great couple. Getting married at some point. Engagement party. And Evites are already out.
I know, I got that.
I got it too. Are you? What are you feeling, Hammer?
I haven't even opened it up, I'm going to be honest.
You're maybe the worst with invites and Evites ever. So
I hate getting them.
Well, you at least just say, if you're not going to go, just say no so they
invite
can plan.
Invite me. Like, I want a little card. I hate getting it sent to my email.
Well, that's what? It. He likes to be wined and dined.
You want to be wined and dined?
Absolutely, 100%. Because
if I get you a legitimate invite, then will you go?
Well, I got to look at the time and see my schedule. I'm a busy boy, man.
Yeah.
Next Saturday, 6 o'clock.
Very interesting stuff. Very funny. Real quick, before we go to break, there's something going on, you know, in the industry that I think it's important we address. And you know, it's not a – I'm never dance on anyone's grave, ever, unless it's a sports team. That I will do. I will jump up and down and dance. But there's a, you know, a giant radio company, and yesterday was a really tough day. There was about 1,000 layoffs, or there's going to be about 1,000 layoffs. And I had a couple people ask me about it yesterday, asking if I would talk about it on the air. And I said, yeah, I mean, I worked for that company, and I'm really bummed. It's bad. It's a bad look for the industry. You know, I hate. I'm looking yesterday on Twitter, and I'm like, oh, this guy's gone, and this guy's gone. I haven't seen anybody here locally. So I guess that's good. But it's really bad for our industry. It really is. It's tough, and I hate it. So that's my statement. I hate it. It sucks. When radio is thriving, that makes me happy. You know, so I never want to see anybody lose their gig. If you're passionate about this industry, as so many of us are, it's a hard industry to stay in. You know, they say about radio, the only constant in radio is change. And that's very true. And I've been in radio 10 years next month. February 1st is my kind of my anniversary. And I celebrate it, man, because I'm very proud of what we do. And I'm proud of my career. And I was with the same station, though, for 7 years. So I was like, man, why is everybody always, like, crying about radio? This is great. And, like I haven't been fired. I haven't been close to being fired. And, man, then when I quit this company, you know, 3 years ago and walked away, it's been such a challenge to just stay in the game and in the hunt. And now I know the grind that it takes to do this for a living. And really not like the job itself is fun. We're having a frigging blast in here damn near every day. And the grind is living your life not knowing if the axe is going to fall or what's going to happen or if your company is mismanaged or you're on the air one day and they pull the plug all of a sudden because nobody's paid the bills. Those are the things that drive you crazy. And to think that we lived through that and got through it, you know, my sentiment for all those people that are scared to death going to work today, I'm sorry. I've been there. It sucks. I hope the best for you. I want our industry to thrive. I want it to kick ass. I want high ratings for everybody, man. I want to win, but I also, you know, I want everybody to thrive because it's good for the industry. It's like, you know, I always say it, man. I love the Yankees. I love the Padres. But I love baseball more than I love either of those teams. And I want baseball to thrive. And it kind of leads us into what we're going to be talking about today. Baseball's not thriving right now. Baseball is, there's a black mark on the game. And when things like this happen in radio, it's a black mark on radio. So I'm pretty bummed about it.
Can you imagine waking up today? Like,
yeah, I can, because we did it. We did
500 people across the country getting canned last night, and then you're just like, well, do I even wake up tomorrow? Do I have a job?
Remember, like, those shows that we did on 1090?
Yeah,
you know, they
every single day.
Every day. They pulled the plug on us, right? We got off the air. I went to breakfast with a friend, and by the time the breakfast was done, the plug had been pulled. Meaning, and we were like, well, what does that mean? Well, okay, we're going to stream because we still have our stream. Okay, so we went in and did a streaming show every day for what?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, 3 weeks. And every single day I would look at my wife and go, is today the day? And she's like, she would tell me, like, just put your head down, just be a pro.
I told our boss, I'm like, hey, text me when I should start booking tomorrow's show because I'm not going to waste my time.
I don't
want to
waste my time.
If we don't have a show tomorrow.
So my thoughts are with all those people that are affected. Because, listen, even if you're not going to be fired today, you're still affected by it. Your company still is laying off 1,000 people, and it effing sucks. It really does. I love this industry with all of my heart. It is my passion. It is my life's work. And I'm really bummed by it. I really am. And I hope that everybody comes through unscathed. If there's talent that goes missing, you know, that gets let go, I hope we scoop them up. You know, I hope maybe we could pick up some talented people here at our station or at our company. So my thoughts are with you. I'm here for you. If you're listening and you need a friend, I've been through it. It sucks. It's the worst thing ever. So my thoughts are with you today. Coming up next on Ben and Woods, instead of this, well, we're doing the spotlight. So
A little differently,
though. We did our first Woods and Ben podcast in a long time yesterday. I had a blast doing it. You guys smoked. You guys were great. Where we broke down the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And we are going to, we'll play a clip of that next. We had such a fun time doing it. I really look forward to our podcast now every week. So that's what we'll do for our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight. We'll play that for you next in case you missed it. It is 97.3 The Fan. Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Did Ben really text you that, Paulie?
Yeah.
What did he say?
You're on it, too.
I'm on it?
He wants to make sure that we're playing a radio-safe clip of the podcast.
No, we're going to play all the F-bombs. We're trying to get blown out today, Ben, before you get here. Come on, man.
It'd be a record. Get fired in the first half an hour.
I mean, we have let F-bomb slip through and stuff, or S-bombs. Or
S-bombs, for
sure. S-bombs slip through. It happens. We have a dump button. But.
F you!
Right. I mean, look at that. That coming from the biggest shock jock of all, worried about us playing a radio-safe clip from our podcast. Just kidding, Benny. It is the Ben and Woods show, but our podcast is called Woods and Ben. I kind of take the lead on the podcast, and we came up with a new direction of talking about the generational gap between our show, being that Ben and I are basically the same age, but we are worlds apart when it comes to pop culture and interests and movies and music and things like that. Hammer, obviously a lot younger, 27. Paulie, kind of closer to the middle. Paulie's more of an old soul, 29, but he definitely has the taste of like a 40-year-old, right? I think that's probably fair to say.
I mean, the way I put it in the description for the podcast was this week we reviewed Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah.
Hammer and Woods and Paul have seen it, of course.
Yep.
And Ben and Hammer haven't seen it because, of course, they haven't.
Yeah, and it was interesting because almost right out of the gate, Hammer brought up a character from early in the movie that's kind of an ancillary character. He's not one of the main guys,
no.
but he's very important. His name is Ron Johnson. He's the audio consultant, and he's very creepy. And he works in the mall at the stereo store. And he's 26, and he's hitting on a young Jennifer Jason Leigh, who is known in the movie as Stacy. Hey, Stacy.
Hate Stacy.
You don't like Stacy?
No, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
She just used everybody.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, Hammer. And he's 26. She's 15. And he's definitely a sexual predator. And Hammer actually brought up Ron Johnson early in the podcast. I'm glad you did. Here's us breaking down the creep of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Ron Johnson. Because for me, he's one of the creepier characters that's ever been in a movie. You know, you think about the creepiest guys you know. Now, Ron Johnson walks into the pizza parlor where Stacy works with her friends. And he sits down, and all the girls, of course, are like, ooh, the hunk from the stereo stores here. Now, they work in a mall, all right? So you got people from the, you know, Mark Ratner works at the movies. Ron Johnson walks in, he sits down, and they go, Stacy, that's your section, you go. She's like, I'm nervous. She's 15 years old, by the way. 15. Goes up to Ron Johnson, and Ron says, how you doing? You working hard or hardly working? And that's his line right there. So that, I get it. That makes you want to die. He's in a leather jacket. His hair, he's got that feathered butt cut hair from the 80s that Ben and I probably both had. And we certainly went to school with enough guys that did. And he sat there and he says, well, I'll take a slice of pepperoni. I'll take a Coke and your phone number. And it makes you want to die. Your butthole puckers up tight and you think.
It really does.
Now, but then again, you're like, so he looks at her and he knows damn well she's not 19 years old. He knows she's not 19. He's a deviant and he's a predator.
But Hammer needs to know that every interaction was awkward before Tinder, before meeting girls online.
And I could do that.
There was no, at least in my experience, there was no non-awkward way to ask a girl out.
None.
Or ask for a phone number. It was always an incredibly awkward, humiliating experience for me.
For me. And I really didn't have a problem talking to girls, but that extra step of, hey, would you like to go on a date with me? I don't even remember. Like, when you're in eighth grade, ninth grade, high school, it was, hey, will you go out with me? And that meant your boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yep.
Did you guys do that when you were? Okay.
We
so that,
totally did.
That didn't really change. When you started, like, meeting girls and, like, wanting to, you know, make out with them and stuff, it was awkward. It was all awkward. So Ron Johnson, in that time period, Hammer, he was considered, like, a slick. That was slick. Like, he's a slick move.
And that's what I hated, because that was such a slick move to say something like, are you working?
Hard or hardly working?
I would never, ever say that.
No,
in
it,
my
makes
mind.
You, it makes you. Ugh. And then, so she agrees to go out with him. Where does he take her? To a dugout. A dugout! To a dugout!
The point!
It's a surf Nazi. Surf Nazi! Across the roof.
He takes her to a dugout. He grabs a blanket.
That
ladies,
was nice.
Ladies, if you ever go out on a date with a guy and he has a blanket in his car, you run and
get
you run.
Out of it.
You run for
but
the
let's
hills.
Remember, this Stacy was looking for this.
Yeah, she exactly.
She wanted it more than I did. Yeah. She wanted to get it over with, right? She was hanging out with the older girl, by the way, Phoebe Cates, superstar of
legendary.
The legendary. We'll get to that, I'm almost certain.
Immediately Googled her after the movie. Immediately.
She's getting pressure, like, hey, it's just sex. I do it. Everybody does it. Just do it. So Stacey, of course, Ron Johnson, sexual predator, was the perfect fit for what Stacey was looking for. And he took her to a dugout. And that was her first time in a dugout with Ron Johnson. Ugh. And I, how about this line, Hammer, when he looks at her and he goes, hey, so am I going to get to first base? I was right, that's it for me. I got to re-shower.
I love that line because of the setting of where
they're
at.
They're in a dugout.
They were in a dugout at a baseball field, and he asked her if he was going to get to first base.
I loved it, man. That was so much fun yesterday. That was a little bit of our Woods and Ben podcast, The New Direction. Breaking down movies and TV shows and music. It's the first one we've done. We don't know where it's going to go. But it was really fun showing Hammer a movie from 1982. You know, Ben hadn't seen it either. And just getting your take on it. And, you know, where can people find our podcast, Paul?
Yeah, it's on Apple Podcasts. If you type in Woods and Ben Podcast, it's also on the front page of 973thefansd.com. Or you can hit the on-demand page and go to the podcast section.
There you go. Did you guys have fun yesterday?
I had a blast. That was awesome.
And so now kind of going around the room for next week, if you want to, next week we'll be off because Paul and I will be gone.
Oh.
So we can't do a podcast next week. So we've already lost the momentum. So that's cool.
Way to start off strong, guys.
I did bring that up like last week.
I didn't even think about that.
Said we're going to start it and then take a week off and then hit it again.
Yeah, we'll hit it again when we get back. We'll all have plenty of time to watch Hammer Selection, which, by the way...
I'm so excited for this.
It's The Longest Yard, the remake with Adam Sandler, Chris Rock.
Yeah, it's got a legendary cast.
It's got a big cast in it, I'll give you that.
Michael Irvin makes an appearance.
He does.
Playmaker.
Our dear friend Michael Irvin does make an appearance in it. So it's going to be interesting because... Ben hates Adam Sandler.
Which makes no sense to me.
Ben is smarter.
Makes all the sense in the world.
It makes all the, yeah.
But Adam Sandler's a genius. He's a great actor. He's hilarious. Uncut Gems is a
I heard one of that the best movie is of all time. I heard that movie is phenomenal.
He can do it all.
I can't wait to see it. I need to see that as well. But Ben, I don't want to say Ben thinks he's too good for Adam Sandler movies, but
no one's too good for Adam Sandler.
Ben thinks he's a little too good. You think you're too good for Adam Sandler movies, right? He just gave you the kind of. So that's the next direction of the Woods and Ben podcast. Now again, we're gonna have to wait a week to do it because Paul and I will be at fantasy camp next week. We're all off Monday. Just warning you guys in advance. You're off, Hammer. You got the day off. You better call out of Nordstrom's now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I love sleeping in.
Yeah, well, sleeping in's great. So we're gonna tackle The Longest Yard, the remake. So you guys listening, you know, watch it as well, and then you can play along. And that's going to be the fun part of the podcast, the interaction, too. Would love you guys to listen to the one we did yesterday. Give us your feedback, what you thought, what you liked, what you want to hear more of, what you want to hear less of. But I think we all had a good time doing it. Ben was excited about it. I was excited about it, and that's really half the battle is getting me excited about it because I really don't like doing the extra podcast myself. Hi, Ben.
It was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
I enjoyed it.
And you nailed it. And maybe my favorite part was when we said, all right, if you could have date one of the girls from the movie, it was pretty obvious everybody's answer was going to be Phoebe Cates, and except for Ben. Ben would have gone with the little harlot, Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Still more the girl next door.
Very much the girl next door. Literally the girl next door, Jennifer Jason Leigh. But she's very very experienced, Ben.
No, not at the beginning.
Not at the beginning, but boy, she got experience quickly.
Very fast.
True. Yeah. I would have fallen for her at the beginning.
Right. Like Ratner did.
Yeah.
Right. So go listen to that podcast. We need to go to break here, right? Or we got a couple minutes? We'll say hi to Ben. Want to let Ben wake up?
A minute, but we can go to break.
All right. Well, I say we go to break right now. We'll come right back. We'll stretch it out with Ben. We'll talk SDSU, Fresno State, the Aztecs. Keep it rolling. Unbelievable.
It was a scary one last night.
Was it scary? I wouldn't know. I was dead asleep. So
I will also let you know about my issue this morning.
Oh, you got an issue?
I have an issue.
With?
Myself, I guess.
All right. Well,
I don't have anyone to blame but myself.
All right. Let's hear this. I can't wait.
I'll tell you when we come back. It's Ben and Woods. Good morning, everybody. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Wednesday morning, learned yesterday, do not call it hump day. Woods hates.
Do not call it hump day,
Woods
buddy.
Hates the hump day bit. So we'll just say we're at
the midpoint.
We're at the peak of the week.
Yeah.
If the week were a hill, we've reached the top of the hill, and then we'll get to start going down the hill after today.
If we were on acid, this would be the peak.
Like the mound day.
Does that make any sense to you?
No.
All right.
I have no idea what that means. You can explain it to me after our check of traffic here this morning on 97.3 The Fan. Let's see what's going on out there with Kelly Nanick. Don't forget, all guests on Ben and Woods appear on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU for you or visit SDCCU.com. Now, I'm sure you can already hear in my voice
yes.
that I don't sound 100%. And I'm not sure of the cause because I feel fine. I don't think I'm sick. I do have this little cough, though.
Oh, no.
And I have this slight sore throat.
Oh,
and
God.
The only thing that I can imagine, I think my Ed Orgeron impression blew out my voice yesterday, and I can't talk normally anymore.
That's kind of how I feel after a Seals game sometimes. Like, I'm never going to get this back. And they honestly, like, doing...
Deuces a while.
They, doing the PA for the San Diego Seals, Ben, it's changed my voice. My
louder!
That's from my audition. I used to be able to sing. I can't sing anymore. It's very, very strange. My wife's like, you used to sing pretty well, and now you don't sound like yourself. I've like, thrashed my voice.
I think channeling Ed Orgeron, which sounds like you're gargling glass
yeah.
as you're trying to talk, has done something to my vocal cords.
Very.
833-288-0973. Seventh caller is going to be entered into our grand prize drawing, a Las Vegas round trip to see Aerosmith's new residency show at the Park MGM. Deuces are wild.
It just kind of hurts to listen to it now.
Yeah, because it doesn't feel good when you're, you know, because when I do the, my whole thing with the Seals game is I'm always like, just get me through the player announcements. Get me through that where I really let it fly, and then I'll be okay the rest of the game.
Let's go, Seals!
I mean, I blew it out that day.
I've always been pretty lucky that I've had a fairly inexhaustible vocal supply. I can talk and talk and talk,
yeah.
and I never seem to wear it out, and I always laugh at the people who treat their voice as it's their instrument.
Yes,
and,
yes, yes.
You know, a little honey with lemon, and I can't talk for 2 hours before I have a big show or a big performance. It's
right.
Like, really? Is that a thing? Because I have never had that issue where I can really blow out my voice. I can use it an inexhaustible supply
yeah.
of talking until I tried to do an Ed Orgeron impression, and
yeah,
now
I mean, and
all
you
of a sudden, I do not sound like myself anymore.
You went pretty, like, long with it, too. It was like a long, long impression. So
deuces are wild.
It killed me, though. It was one of my favorite moments of the week, for sure. And it is hard, though. You have to take care of your voice, Benny, the older that you get. You know, the alcohol, you're, you know, constantly drinking alcohol, constantly partying all the time. You don't get any rest. It's good. You're going to lose
some
it.
Some of the greatest radio voices ever are the ones
drug
who,
addicts.
Yeah, drank the most, smoked the most. I mean, just years and years, and they end up with this just rich.
Good morning.
Bassy.
Yeah, good morning, dude.
You know, great vibration
yeah.
in there that you can just, oh, you can just wrap it around yourself like a coat.
Oh,
that
yeah,
voice.
A warm blanket. I, you know, the funny thing is people don't realize this also. These microphones... There are people in this town, I'm not going to name names, that when you meet them, they're like, hey, how you doing? You hear them on the air, they're like, good morning, everybody. It's me. And, like, some of these microphones are so processed. So I would say today, Benny, use the diaphragm and use the mic. You know, let the mic do the work
for
you.
Let the mic do the work.
The mic does the work
today. Interesting.
Yep.
All right. Good plan. Good
yep.
plan. But you might have to, if I, like, just cut out at any moment, you might be... Need to jump in.
I got
in case
you.
I lose the voice or
I
just go squeaky for a second.
That's fine.
Because it's
well, you know that we'll,
something's going on here.
We definitely won't call attention to it and make fun
right.
of it. That's for
well,
sure.
Exactly.
That's one thing you can rest assured.
Now, if I have a vocal break, I don't know if that counts as a dollar in the flub jar.
We'll see.
We'll see how it is.
Yeah, right. We'll see.
Deuces are wild.
Is that me or Ed? I really can't tell.
I know. It is.
It's that spot
it's,
on.
It's that good.
It may have been worth it.
Deuces are wild.
Despite the pain that I'm feeling today in the voice.
Make sure to sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter so we can call your name to be the biggest fan.
So good.
I stayed up, of course, for the entire game because yeah. I had to do highlights at 11 o'clock last night. Anyone else? Catch them Aztecs. Paul, I know you love your Aztecs, your beloved Aztecs.
Were fell you asleep halfway through the second half.
I watched the first 7 minutes.
7 minutes?
Yeah.
So you didn't really get a flavor. Well, you did get a flavor for the game. In the first 7 minutes, the Aztecs missed probably 7 3-point shots. Yeah, and that
chucking up bricks.
And that was, to me, kind of what set the tone for a very unusual, odd basketball game last night in Fresno. In the end, I think the Aztecs went 3 of 18 or 3 of 19 from three-point range. That is the recipe on the road to get knocked off if you're a top 10 team. If you can't make a three-point shot, you're playing in a hostile environment. Generally, home teams will shoot a little bit better. I was very nervous as that game was going along, and Fresno was just sticking around. They didn't have a lead after the first, 12 minutes or so, but I just felt like it's a 6-point game, it's a 7-point game, it's a 5-point game, it got to a 3-point game. I just had that feeling Fresno is just going to hit a couple of wacky threes, and all of a sudden San Diego State's going to be a bad spot. My doubt was misplaced, as it has been all season.
Every single game, Benny, when you kind of think like, oh man, this is going to be it, this is going to be the stumble, they always find a way to kind of get it back on track, man, and shots start falling, and the defense has been great. So when you're that good defensively, you really like your chances in every single game.
Well, they did what they always do when the shots don't fall. The defense kept them in a game.
It's amazing.
Where other teams might have been down 24-10 because, they just weren't making any shots, the Aztecs were down 11-10 because their defense was doing the job that it always does. And they realized they weren't making the threes, so they started getting it inside more to Yanni Wetzel. They took shorter shots inside the arc, and their shooting percentage actually from two-point range was phenomenal. Well over 50% from two-point range. They actually ended up shooting as a team about 47% for the game, which isn't bad, despite only shooting about 15% from three-point range. They just had to find other ways to get a few points on the board, and they were successful in doing so. Went on a quick run. They made their free throws in the second half. Malachi Flynn has not missed a free throw this calendar year.
That's incredible.
Which is, I think, an amazing
stat. That's incredible.
San Diego State, never been known as a great free throw shooting team, but he and Matt Mitchell just seem to be knocking him down this year. I think they made all but one yesterday.
He bumps up the curve then, doesn't he?
It does help.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. And he had another good game with, I think, 22 points to lead the way. Wetzel had 17. Aztecs ended up pulling away for yet another victory, 64-55, 18-0 now on the season.
All right, how many more regular season games are there?
There are still about 10 left.
Okay.
Let's see, they're 7-0 in the conference, and I believe they play 18 conference games, so 11 conference games left. And then the conference tournament before the NCAA tournament. So technically, I think they'd have to win 14 more to get to a perfect season going into March Madness.
That's a lot of wins.
They're barely over halfway. It's crazy.
Oh, my.
But this has been the biggest stretch for them, and they've looked pretty damn good.
What's their best is, what, 20-0?
20-0, yes. Start? The Kawhi Leonard team started 20-0.
Dude, imagine breaking that record when they had Kawhi Leonard.
And now they've got
to break it, that'll be at UNLV.
Really good chance to at least tie it. Their next two games are at home. They play Nevada on Saturday. Nevada's not a bad team, but you got them at home, so you like your chances there. And then they got Wyoming next Tuesday at home, a team they've already beaten up in Laramie. So they will be very favored in these next two games to get to 20-0. And then, as Paul said, they go to UNLV, historically the biggest basketball rival in the conference, with a chance to break the franchise record for fastest start and longest winning streak and get to 21-0. We'll worry about Nevada first on Saturday.
Yeah, one game at a time, buddy.
Steve Alford, their new coach. They lost all their great players. Nevada was really the powerhouse of this conference the last few years with Eric Musselman as the coach. They had sort of taken that spot from SDSU, at least temporarily. He left to go to Arkansas this last offseason, and By the way, he's got the Razorbacks playing pretty well right now. Steve Alford, who had been at UCLA after his stint at New Mexico, got fired by the Bruins, but they get hired at Nevada and seems to be doing a pretty decent job so far with them. So that'll be the background for Saturday's game. I think 5 o'clock start at Viejas Arena as they try to go 19-0 this week and keep this pretty cool college basketball season magical run that they've got going on. And they are even last night's game was not the prettiest college basketball game you'll ever see. But they are, someone said, oh, this is a hard team to watch. You know, people who haven't been following them as closely because they've been on a lot of streaming games, Mountain West Network, Facebook.
Chevron app.
And last night the game was actually on ESPN2.
Yep.
And so some people were kind of watching them for the first time.
Well, you know me. I bitch about everything. I bitch when they're not on TV, and then I bitch that last night it was on too late. Too late for me. I was like, oh man, they're finally on TV.
Right. Saturday, 5 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. What will you be bitching about then?
Saturday, I will be I'll be playing a baseball tournament, so I'll miss. I'll be in Palm Springs.
I saw some tweets. People were tweeting me, oh, this same old, hard to watch.
Oh no.
Aztecs team can't make shots. And I was like, I can't tweet you all back, but you're just wrong. This is the
18-0.
This is the easiest to watch Aztecs team probably since those Kawhi Leonard days. Every player on the floor is
this
a
might
good basketball player. It might
because
be.
That team they were winning games 55-42.
Yes, exactly.
They still couldn't score. They just had the most elite defense ever. Kawhi Leonard wasn't letting anything go through. Now they can score, and they still have a great defense.
Now Kawhi Leonard, you see him making these NBA threes, you know, just and he did it again last night. He was insane last night for the Clippers, by the way. Scored 43 points in three quarters.
Wow.
Less than 29 minutes of play. But when he was in college, people forget. He was a bricklayer. The guy couldn't make a shot outside of
like 11 and 10 every night. 12 and 10.
I mean, he got a lot of rebound putbacks, and he was a board man gets paid. He could do that in college, and so he got his points underneath. But he wanted to make those shots. You know, put those mid range jumpers. It's
crazy, man.
He just couldn't make much in college. And I mean, if Kawhi Leonard could make a shot, the Aztecs would have won a national championship, I think, pretty easily that year, actually. He didn't get that skill until after he went to the NBA and the San Antonio Spurs. Now he's amazing. He's such a complete basketball player.
Yeah.
Outside, inside, defense, rebounding. Really, no one in the NBA compares to Kawhi Leonard when it comes to all-around basketball skills.
LeBron, no?
LeBron's a good defensive player. I think LeBron's now on the,
the decline.
The back end of his career. LeBron's as close as it gets. Like, James Harden's a better offensive player, maybe, overall, but
not more complete.
Not defensively, not more complete. Oh, it was weird last night, just while I'm just bringing up basketball. Giannis Antetokounmpo had almost the same game. He had 37 points in 21 minutes for the Bucks. It's like they were competing against each other. The Bucks beat the Knicks 128-102. The Clippers beat the Cavs 128-103.
Wow.
It's like the exact same game played in two different cities, with two different opponents and two different teams and two different NBA stars.
And two different really, really good basketball players.
Two different really, really good basketball players. But back to the point is that this is not a hard team to watch. This isn't easy. Maybe college basketball isn't for you if you can't appreciate this year's San Diego State
team. I thought
team.
Last night was about what I expected. You're on the road. This is a team that knows you very well. Half their coaching staff was at San Diego State. And they've had your number for the last couple of years. So for them to kind of just be, I mean, they didn't trail at all in the second half, did they?
No, not once. And they haven't trailed in the second half in, I think, 15 of their 19 games.
Yeah, something like that.
They haven't even had to come back in the second half. And
yeah, casual fans, don't get spoiled. You know, don't get spoiled and be like, man, I want to see some run and gun here.
Like Brian Dutcher said, I think this is going to be our hardest road game of the season so far, going into Fresno State. Just always a tough place to play, especially for us, going against a team that had a short week rest. It's our third game in 7 days. It's their first one. They know us. They've played us. They're getting a bunch of starters back. He knew it was going to be a tough game, and yet, once again, the Aztecs rose to the challenge and took care of business, even without their best stuff, shooting-wise, from three-point range last night. It's the sign of a winning team. Every single time they go out there, they show me something different.
Yep, and they find a way to get it done.
It's always a lot of fun.
Beautiful.
All right, with that being said,
let's do this.
Let's do something else. So we got our hammer here. It is time to go inside the mind of our assistant producer, Let's get to it.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Stop. Hammer time.
Morning, Hammer.
What's up, guys?
How you doing, buddy?
Awesome this morning.
Good. Yeah, you're very happy.
Yeah, I really am.
Good.
So, this Hammer time is kind of dedicated to my dad.
All right.
Sometimes parents can be really embarrassing.
What's his first name?
Alan.
Alan.
Yeah. Alan. Alan Perlin.
Alan and Alex.
Alan Perlin.
Yeah, in the Jewish community, you can't do, like, the same name as a junior. So, like, I'm Alex, and then my sister's Allison.
Got it.
And then my brother's Scott, because that's my dad's middle name.
Interesting. Did not know that.
Yeah, a little fun facts, but for my dad...
Why not Aloysius or something? There's a couple more owls out there that you could have gone
Anyways,
with.
As I continue...
Don't derail him, Ben.
Yeah, please, for the love of goodness, this is a good one. My dad does this thing, and it embarrasses me. Every parent embarrasses a child, and this is the only thing my dad does that embarrasses me. When he goes into a public restroom and he goes to do a number one, he takes his pants completely off. Like, down past his kneecaps. His butt cheeks are just showing. Ah. In a public restroom, and my dad is just peeing. And he does this in every public restroom. He'll go to a Padre game, he does it. He just goes to a five-star restaurant at a steakhouse, and he just goes and he takes his pants off to pee.
I'm looking at him like there's an alien that's walked in the room. I'm trying to. They're around his ankles.
Not that far.
But to, like, does he use his knees to hold them up?
Yeah, you can see his hamstrings and his butt cheeks and all that. It's the weirdest thing that my dad.
You said something to him?
Yes. And my dad, like, he just lives a free life. He's this old guy, and he's just like, I don't care anymore. This is the way I like to go pee.
You don't need that much freedom when you go number one.
Nobody does.
Now, number two, I get. Number two, right. You know.
Standing. We're talking standing.
And we're talking standing.
In front of a urinal.
At a urinal. At a Padre game where there's, you know, 60 people in there. Some
no
people
privacy.
Waiting in line. And this guy's ass is hanging out. And he's just like, I don't care. That is the weirdest. Yeah, I'd say that would fall under more embarrassing than anything my dad ever done. Maybe.
Because I've seen little kids do this when they first
started.
Yeah,
that's what they should learn.
Body
yeah.
training set. I mean, you know, that age where...
He does this at the urinal, not like in the stall.
In the urinal. Like, everyone can see it. I know a bunch of people, like, have walked in there and right. been like, hey, yo, Alex, your dad has his pants off in the
all
bathroom.
Right,
like,
so,
I know.
So, question here. So, we wear underwear. What does he wear underwear-wise?
Just regular Tommy John. He likes that.
Like the man panties, like yeah. the kind of the half. Okay. And those come down too?
Yes, everything's down.
That's okay. If your pants fall a little bit, fine. But the fact that you pull your underwear all the way down and you don't just take
the front part, your thing,
and pull it over the edge like a normal human does, and let it rest right there on the waistband, like we all do that. There's no reason the underwear needs to come all the way down. There's no reason for it.
None at all.
That is bare ass in a public place. You need to have a conversation.
I have. And like, my dad is a very respectable human being. I mean, he's the general manager of like a car dealership.
Right.
This guy makes straight up bang.
And he pulls his pants all the way down.
Yes.
I will say
time.
That.
Imagine if somebody was like about to buy a car from him and they ran into him in the bathroom.
Like, hey, Alan, whoa.
I don't know.
Whoa,
anymore.
Easy, easy.
And it's not like he's got a good butt. He's got a really flat pancake butt.
Wow.
At the very least. Most public restrooms nowadays have improved from at least when we were younger.
Yeah.
You know, at least there's like a bit of a privacy screen. In
between
the men's
urinals sometimes, yeah.
Our female listeners probably don't know too much what's going on here in the men's bathrooms, but yeah, you get a small privacy screen. Used to be just the big trough, like all the way across with no privacy. Like at Padres games at the, you know, Jack Murphy Stadium growing up. It was just a giant trough, and if it was a crowded game and there's just people lined up and you're shoulder to shoulder, you're that close.
The trough is the worst.
It's just the worst.
Oh, it's the worst. You're like, you're just touching, and it's...
Yeah.
But, yeah, imagine being at the trough, and a guy is there with his pants around his ankles. So, like, his pants are like, they touch the dirty ground and
stuff.
They're
pretty close. It doesn't go that far. Like I said, his knees, cast will kind of, like, keep everything from hitting the dirty ground.
Does he just not want any pee on anything? He just really wants to make sure it's a good, solid, clean thing. God, that's weird as F.
That's my dad for you.
Sorry, Hammer.
Stop. Hammer time.
That would be embarrassing. I would just avoid ever. I would never go into the bathroom with him ever.
But then people come out and they know me and they're like, hey, your dad's in there with his pants off. And I was like, I know. He does this all the time.
It's very odd.
I actually wouldn't bring that up on the radio if it were me. I can't stop my dad from doing it.
If your dad did it.
Yeah, my dad did it. Just that would be a family secret. That
it's not, though. He does it in public.
It's incredible. Yeah, it's not really a secret if he does it in public, Ben. That's amazing. True. Amazing.
Very true. Woodsy?
Yes.
Alex Cora is gone.
Oh, is he?
He's manager of the Red Sox. Try to hide your smile.
That's weird.
Try to hide it.
What did he do?
The fallout continues from this Houston Astros cheating scandal. I tend to downplay things. You can't downplay this one. It's bad. It is bad. We're going to get into that next. It is a Wednesday morning here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.